you are listening to the Modern Web Podcast, where we explore next generation frameworks, standards, and techniques. I'm Tracy Lee at Lead Elite on Twitter, and you can find us online at modern-web.org. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Modern Web Podcast. I'm sitting here today with Ben Lesh and Zach, but I don't know your last name.
Chapel.
Okay. And these two guys are pretty cool, awesome, open source contributors. So Ben works on RxJS5, and Zach is on the Angular CLI team. So I thought it would be really interesting for people to sort of hear about how you guys got involved, right? I think when people get into the community, they want to do things and start contributing, and I know that's something that I'm really passionate about. And I was just wondering if I could get your guys' advice on how a beginner can start contributing in a way that's actually effective and works. Like, how did you guys get started, and what have you seen that's worked, and what have you seen that's been bad?
The way I got started was years ago, and on Angular 1, I was doing an Angular 1 app, and I really wanted to be able to use, because I was only targeting like newer browsers, I wanted to be able to use all of the date time inputs. And so I started, there's a funny and ongoing story about this. I started with a pull request. That was my first ever pull request, I'm pretty sure, was in Angular to add all of the directive handling for these date time inputs. And, you know, it was one of those things where I put it out there, and I basically approached it like I'm in somebody else's code base. Mm-hmm. They're going to have preferences that might not be the same as mine. You know, odds are these folks are probably smarter than me about what's going on in their code base. So I tried as much as I could to match the style of the code base, which is very important.
And so you look at the code first, and then you sort of say, okay, this is how I need to code it in order for them to merge.
Yeah, you try to match it. The other thing that's really important is most open source projects, especially larger ones, will have contributor guidelines. And so if you're going to try to contribute to a large open source project, it's important to read those contributor guidelines. I didn't do that the first time, and someone led me to it, and I was like, oh, okay, because I had to change how I committed things. I was actually really horrible at Git the first time, too. They asked me to flatten my commits, and I was like, I don't know how to do that. And like, now I'm a pro at it, but then I was not a pro at all. And
so you got to learn how to flatten your Gits.
Yeah, you got to flatten your commits. Yeah, so what that is you get, you have multiple commits, and you can take all of the changes and kind of squish them into one change.
Got it.
So there were things like that that were asked of me to do. And then the reason this is an ongoing story is at the time, I tabulated that I had written probably about 13% of the Angular code base at that point, because it was a fairly large addition to Angular. And it was merged by a Mr. Tobias Bosch on the Angular team. And he's a great guy. But the way he merged it, his name was put on it, not mine. So I don't actually show up in the Angular 1 contributors list.
And you merge it, because now the process, it does pick your name up still, because I know...
I'm assuming that he probably did some sort of rebase, or perhaps even like copy-pasted over to some other code, refactored something, and then pushed it in. Right, so...
So secretly you hate him.
No. So, and at the time, so like now I work at Netflix. And you know, and I work on RxJS, and there's some notoriety there already, so I don't really care. But there's something to be said for like GitHub street cred, right? Like if you, man, I got it. Like if you just work at like Joe Average Job, which is what I had before, and those companies were great, but like having like, I wrote a huge chunk of Angular was going to look really good on my resume, but it was totally unprovable now, except for the pull request, which still exists.
Right.
You can go out and see that, and you can see that they approved it and everything, but, I ended up working at Netflix, not because of that, but because of my Angular expertise and my profile on Stack Overflow. I answered a lot of questions on Stack Overflow. When I met Tobias, I told Tobias and I told Igor Minar this story, and it bothers Tobias when I mention it now. Like, it bothers, like, I teased him about it for a while, because I didn't care anymore, so I like to tease people, and I tease him about it. But the deal is, this is a real thing, and I hope Jeff Cross is watching this. Jeff Cross has agreed to mention my name in every one of his talks for 5 years, and that was a year and a half ago, I think, was his.
Really?
Yeah. So I've got 3.5 more years of Jeff Cross mentioning my name in every one of his talks. Usually he puts like a slide of me in there, but the reason that's in there isn't just because we're good friends, it's because he's agreed to do that as
a favor.
Reparations.
Yeah.
For
I love that.
One of the things I struggle with that first pull request is kind of like the imposter syndrome, right?
Oh,
Because basically, like, you know, I'm not good enough to do this. You know, I've been complaining about this bug. They told me just go fix it. And now I'm actually doing something public. People are going to see this. And there's that whole psychological side of it, too. Like, you know, yeah. Now the world knows who I am. That's also why some people hesitate with pair programming, right? Because, you know, other people are going to see my code. They're not going to see, they're going to see how horrible I am. And you have that anxiety about that.
Right, right.
I love pairing.
It was tough. Yeah, pair programming is amazing. But it takes a level of trust to even begin doing that. But my first public pull request, if I remember right, was actually to Bootstrap. And then shortly after that was one to Zurb Foundation. So I love picking on the CSS frameworks and trying to get things going. But now I contribute to the CLI, so that's quite a bit of fun.
And you're going to merge all my pull requests.
Just like, think about it.
No review. Just hit the merge button.
I might give it a looks good to me, but I won't merge it. No.
There's one other thing that's worth noting is, for example, with those that big pull request I had in Angular 1, Tobias actually came through and reviewed it and rejected it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was apparent in his rejection like that he thought it was a bad idea, but he didn't understand what my idea was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really important that I know that there's lots of different personalities in tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's people out there that if that happened to them, they would either be disheartened and walk away, or they would be angry and combative.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell that he didn't understand the spirit of what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the PR is still out there. I went and I found documentation on like those types of inputs and how what I was doing was really just trying to accommodate situations where those inputs actually existed and it wouldn't trample. It was trying to kind of just match up with the spec and bring non-compliant browsers to have similar behaviors to compliant browsers. And so I had to plead my case to get them to, and then they reopened it.
Oh, so they actually did
close the pull request and then they reopened it. So,
So just be really persistent.
Yeah, yeah. And the imposter syndrome thing, during that thing, because it was such a large pull request, I had to, Tobias said that he wanted to chat with me on Hangouts. And I said, okay, great. Chat on Hangouts. And so, you know, I have small children and I was living in Pennsylvania. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go up and I'm going to lock myself in my bedroom so it's not too loud. And our bedroom was like a mess, you know, it was like, hadn't cleaned in a while. There's like stuff everywhere. The bed's not made. And I'm up in there and I'm like, okay, well, I'm ready to do this thing. And, Hangouts comes up. It's a video chat. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a video chat. So I'm like, quick, like straighten up everything behind me. So like, they don't know that everything's a train wreck around me. So just like this one, like 3x3 foot area that has my face in it. Yeah. Looks okay.
But were you wearing pants?
I think so. I was so surprised about the whole, I mean, I might've been in boxers or something, but, yeah,
but
I was so surprised.
Like part, I'm, so I was
and
okay.
You know, at that point I'd never been to Silicon Valley. I'd never seen, that was the first time I'd seen the inside of a Google building was behind Tobias Bosch. And I was, you know, I was like, oh my God, this is the mothership calling me. It was really strange. You know, and now that I work at Netflix, like things like that aren't as surprising, but they still are. Every now and then you stop and think about, man, you know, the people that you're working with and the stuff you do. But yeah, that was definitely like an I'm not worthy moment. Like I was very...
Bill and Ted's.
Right.
There's the other side of that too, is that I think sometimes I find myself forgetting just how lucky we are. Because I've had the chance to talk to like, you know, some like core Angular guys and you know, when I mention that in passing to other people, because it's just a natural thing being part of the CLI project, that you have to talk to these people because they're part of the Angular core. And you know, when you mention someone who's just getting into Angular that's been watching the YouTube videos and the old ng-conf videos, they're like, wait, you did what?
Yeah.
And you just begin to take it for granted. So you have to take a step back sometimes and realize, like, not everyone has this, you know, this chance yet, and mm-hmm. that you have to help other people become involved in this community as well so they can have those opportunities. And
yeah, and the other thing is these guys are all, like, particularly in the Angular community, and, I know folks in the Ember community as well, they're all really normal guys. Like, mm-hmm. they're all super down-to-earth. I think there might be a few personalities outside of the Angular community that are open-source personalities that are a little larger than life, but mm-hmm. In the Angular community especially, everybody is really down to earth. I can tell anybody watching that if you feel you have something of value to offer via pull request, and it could be anything, it could be contributing to, like, adding your language, you know, if say you're in Pakistan and you want to convert the docs to Pakistani, I guarantee that they're interested in stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you have something to add, these are totally normal people that want anyone that has something to add to feel empowered to add to their community. And I, with RxJS, I've really tried my best to kind of model our open source environment after that. I'm extremely thankful for anybody that submits any kind of pull request. I actually feel hurt for the person if I have to reject their pull request. I'm like, oh, you know, because I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like to have a pull request and get it rejected and be like, you know, I put so much thought into this, and you stuck your neck out there.
You called,
like,
their baby ugly.
Well, it's not even that. It's like you had the bravery to step up and try this. And, you know, maybe that person is someone who's just brave about everything. But I think most people
feel normal, like, oh, for you guys now, like, to get pull requests rejected. You're like, yeah, whatever. It always happens.
No.
Yeah. I think after you get some practice and you do it a while, you start to get a taste for the personalities you're dealing with, for the types of issues they're concerned about, mm-hmm. and you get more and more pull requests accepted. And I think that even for people in, like, the RX community, mm-hmm. There's a few people that had pull requests right off that maybe they weren't accepted right away, or maybe, like, sometimes I would accept them and I would, like, have another commit, like, right after theirs, where I fixed a couple of things and then gave them feedback, mm-hmm. so that way I didn't want to, like, kick it back to them too often, mm-hmm. and make them feel like, oh, this is a lot of work, this guy's, you know, being mm-hmm. a pain, you know.
Also, you have the opportunity to gain trust with that group and be able to communicate with them, right?
So right.
After you have one or two pull requests accepted, then they'll actually have a couple conversations with you.
Right.
And you can talk about the feature you want to bring in before you actually do the work, and it saves you from having that rejected PR too, because you know you're not completely off base.
Yeah, well, thanks guys so much. I hope everybody listening actually starts contributing to open source, and RxJS 5 and Angular CLI are two great projects.
Yes,
yes.
I hope I get to contribute. All right, thanks everyone.
Thanks for listening. To find more podcasts, videos, and online conferences, check out modern-web.org or find us on Twitter @modernweb_. See you around the internet.